ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం సెకండ్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 10 టెక్స్ట్ 43. తతః కాలాగ్ని రుద్రాత్మా జత్ సృష్టం ఇదం ఆత్మనః సన్నియచ్చతి తత్ కాలే ఘనానికం ఈవానిలః. తతః కాలాగ్ని రుద్రాత్మా జత్ సృష్టం ఇదమాత్మనః సన్నియచ్చతి తత్కాలే ఘనానీకమివానిలః. తతః కాలాగ్ని రుద్రాత్మా యత్ సృష్టం ఇదమాత్మనః సన్నియచ్చతి తత్కాలే ఘనానీకమివానిలః. తతః కాలాగ్ని రుద్రాత్మా యత్ సృష్టం ఇదమాత్మనః సన్నియచ్చతి తత్కాలే ఘనానీకమివానిలః. తతః దేర్ ఆఫ్టర్ అట్ ద ఎండ్ కాలే డిస్ట్రక్షన్ అగ్ని ఫైర్ రుద్ర ఆత్మా ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ రుద్ర యత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ సృష్టం క్రియేటెడ్ ఇదం ఆల్ దీస్ ఆత్మనః ఆఫ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ సమ్ కంప్లీట్లీ నియచ్చతి అనహిలేట్ తత్కాలే అట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ద మిలేనియం ఘన అనికం బంచెస్ ఆఫ్ క్లౌడ్స్ ఇవ లైక్ దాట్ ఆఫ్ అనిలః ఎయిర్. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, at the end of the millennium, the Lord Himself in the form of Rudra, the destroyer, will annihilate the complete creation as the wind displaces the clouds. Please repeat. Thereafter, at the end of the millennium, the Lord Himself in the form of Rudra, the destroyer, will annihilate the complete creation as the wind displaces the clouds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This creation is very appropriately compared to clouds. Clouds are created or situated in the sky, and when they are displaced, they remain in the same sky without manifestation. Similarly, the whole creation is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form of Brahma. It is maintained by Him in the form of Vishnu, and it is destroyed by Him in the form of Rudra or Shiva, all in due course. The creation, maintenance and destruction are nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita 8:19 and 20 as follows. Bhuta grama sa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratra game vasha partha. You want to say it? Ratra game vasha partha prabhavatyahuragame parastasmattu tasmattu bhavanyo abhyakta sanatanaha jasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasatsuna vinashati. The nature of the material world is that it is first created very nicely, then it develops very nicely and stays for a great number of years, even beyond the calculation of greatest mathematicians. But after that, it is again destroyed during the night of Brahma without any resistance. And at the end of the night of Brahma, it is again manifested as a creation to follow the same principles of maintenance and destruction. The foolish conditioned soul who has taken this temporary world as a permanent settlement has to learn intelligently why such creation and destruction take place. The fruitive actors in the material world are very enthusiastic in the creation of big enterprises, big houses, big empires, big industries, and so many big things out of the energy and ingredients supplied by the material agent of the Supreme Lord. With such resources and at the cost of valuable energy, the conditioned soul creates, satisfies his whims, but unwillingly has to depart from all his creations and enter into another phase of life to create again and again. To give hope to such foolish conditioned souls who waste their energy in this temporary material world, the Lord gives information that there is another nature which is eternally existent without being occasionally created or destroyed, and that the conditioned soul can understand what he should do and how his valuable energy may be utilized. Instead of wasting his energy in matter which is sure to be destroyed in the course by the Supreme Will, the conditioned soul should utilize his energy in the devotional service of the Lord so that he can be transferred to the other eternal nature where there is no birth, no death, no creation, no destruction, but permanent life instead, full of knowledge and unlimited bliss. The temporary creation is thus exhibited and destroyed just to give information to the conditioned soul who is attached to temporary things. It is also meant to give him a chance for self-realization and not for sense gratification, which is the prime aim of all fruitive actors. Tato kalagni rudratma jat srishtam idamatmanah sanyachati tatkale ghanani kamibanilah. Thereafter, at the end of the millennium, the Lord Himself in the form of Rudra, the destroyer, will annihilate the complete creation as the wind displaces the clouds. So another very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Like yesterday's purport was also quite powerful. So in this way we are actually getting to know the principle of the material existence, the principles of the material nature. So yesterday's purport dealt with yesterday's verse dealt with the Lord as the maintainer, and now the Lord is the destroyer. He creates, he maintains, and he destroys. But what is this creation and maintenance and destruction? What is it like? This has been very nicely compared to in this verse, Ghananika Ibanilaha. Ghanani means clouds. Ghana anikam means bunches of clouds, cluster of clouds. What is cloud actually? What is cloud? Cloud is just water vapor. Water vapor, when they get together and become condensed, they come together when water vapor when the water vapor comes together, then it is cloud. And it looks like it has a form. I remember when I used to be young, when I was a little boy, we used to play games by seeing figures in the cloud. And you can form figures in the cloud. You can imagine figures in the cloud. The cloud has a shape. But then what happens? The wind comes and scatters the cloud. And when the strong wind comes and scatters the cloud, then there is no cloud left anymore. There is no cloud. The water vapors are there, but the form disappears. So in the material creation is something like that. The elements of this world, elements of this material nature, how many elements are there? No. How many elements are there in the material nature? No, go further. Five. Panchabhutatma. This material nature is comprised of five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So, these earth, water, fire, air, ether is there in the nature. Do you remember that verse? Jatha Mahanti Bhutani. What are these Mahanti Bhutanis? Mahabhutas, the five elements. So it is due to these five elements that this material nature becomes manifest. And then, as long as these five elements are together, material nature is existing, maintained. And then, when the five elements are dissolved, when the five elements disintegrate, then the material nature becomes destroyed. Isn't that the principle of material existence? Now the consideration here is, who brings them together? Who brings these elements together? Who creates, who maintains, and who destroys? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. He brings them together. How does He bring them together? How does the Supreme Personality of Godhead bring these five elements together? Just by His glance. And actually, at the bottom of it, it's not only five elements. There's only one element. What is that one element? Mahatattva. The Mahatattva. So this Mahatattva, due to the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is transformed into various elements, various living entities also. The bodies of different living entities are due to the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when he withdraws his glance, then the material nature falls apart. The total annihilation, the total creation begins when he glances, and the total annihilation takes place when he withdraws his glance. But in between there are temporary annihilations. There are various kinds of temporary annihilations. At the end of Kali Yuga there is one kind of annihilation. At the end of the day of the Manu there is another kind of annihilation. At the end of Brahma's day there is another kind of annihilation. These are all temporary annihilation. And there is another annihilation. That's individual annihilation. When we die, then also the material nature becomes annihilated in relation to us. At the time of death, what will happen? Will the material nature be here? Everything will fall apart. At the time of death, what will happen? We will be annihilated. Our body will be annihilated. When we, at the time of death, the elements will enter, the body will become separate, and the elements with which this body was created will go back to nature. Either with us, it's burnt. When you burn, what happens? When the body is burnt, all the elements of the body go back to the material nature. And what will be left? The earth will be left in the form of ash. Our bodies will be burnt. Earth, water, fire. The good part of the body is actually water. And some part is earth. And then there is some fire, and air and ether. At the time of death, the air leaves the body, the life air. So that is the reality. We have to understand that this creation and destruction is as temporary as the cloud coming together and being dispersed by the wind. And we are seeing, like, constantly it is actually transient, constantly it's moving. Our body is not maintaining the same shape. We may think that we look the same person, but we are changing every moment, every second we are changing. Sometimes, especially with the children, when the body grows very quickly, we find that in 1 year or 2 years they look so different. Sometimes doesn't it happen? Like we saw a child, there was a little baby, and after 2 years, this big. Does it look like that little baby that we saw? It looks so different. Then, 5 years, 6 years, another kind of body. And then 11 years, we see after 2 years, when the boy or girl is 13, looks so different. I remember I saw Aisharja after 1 year almost. She looked so different. She grew about 8 inches taller. She was, when I, 1 year back I saw her, she was little girl, and when she, I saw her after 1 year, she was a big lady. In this way the body is changing. But then after the teenage, then the body more or less remains the same. But then again body begins to deteriorate. Like when one is 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. When you become sick at the end, old age, then the body changes so quickly. In a month or so the body becomes emaciated. And then finally we leave the body. So this is, we have to understand, like, what this material existence actually means. Material existence is like that. It is so temporary, so transient. It's as transient as some cloud coming together and getting dispersed by wind. And but the point is, this is the nature of our existence. But what are we supposed to do? What are we expected to do? We have to do something about it. And what is the purpose of our existence in the material nature? The purpose of our existence in the material nature is to separate the body from the soul. Body eventually is actually a bondage. It is the body which is tying us down to the material nature. It's because of the body we are stuck in this material nature. No matter how we want to be free from the material nature, we won't be able to. The gross body we may become free from, but the subtle body, we cannot become free from subtle body. Subtle body, even at the time of death, we leave the gross body. After death we leave the gross body, but the subtle body remains. And the subtle body is actually the main bondage. Our main bondage is due to the subtle body. Subtle body comprising of mind, intelligence and false ego. Sukshma sharir or linga sharir. With this we are tied down to the material nature. Actually, some people think that by practicing yoga they'll become free from material bondage, but they don't realize that actually by practicing yoga the subtle body becomes stronger. And as a result of that, they become more entangled in the material nature. They become more bound in the material nature. The bondage in the material nature becomes stronger. This by practicing of yoga. What does yoga do? Yoga actually increases. The yoga actually strengthens our subtle body. So what is the way to become free from the bondage of subtle body? The only way we can become free from the bondage of subtle body is by surrendering to Krishna. That is the only way a living entity can become free from the material bondage. There is no other way. It is the subtle body that carries us after death to the next body. So as long as we have a subtle body, we are bound to get a next body, gross body. We'll be forced to get another gross body. Because this subtle body will carry, after death, the subtle body, according to our karma, will take us to the next body. So as long as we have a subtle body, we cannot become free from the material. So what to do then? Subtle body is comprised of what? Subtle body is made of mind, intelligence and false ego. So the only way we can be free from the bondage of the subtle body is by transforming, by spiritualizing the subtle body. The mind is there, and how can the mind be spiritualized? How can the mind be spiritualized? Okay. What does it mean? Okay, both are correct. It looks like Prema Lila was about to say something. Yeah, right. Engage your mind in the activity, in thinking about, what's the activity of the mind? To think. By thinking about Krishna. So that's why, that's what he said, that man mana bhava, and that's what Krishna can also say that Sabai Manah Krishna Padaravinda, same thing. Offer the mind to Krishna. Now offer the mind to Krishna means what? Think of Krishna with the mind. So when the mind is engaged in thinking about Krishna, then the mind is it material or spiritual? So the mind is spiritualized. Then, when the mind is spiritualized, or when the mind is not engaged in serving Krishna, thinking about Krishna, then intelligence, Krishna actually gives the spiritual intelligence. Buddhadami buddhi yogam tam. Tesham shatata yuktanam bhajatan priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. Jena mamupa jantite. So when the mind is engaged and one becomes constantly engaged in thinking about Krishna and serving about Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, chanting his holy name, in this way when one becomes constantly engaged in devotional service, then intelligence becomes spiritualized in the form of buddhi yoga or devotional service. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. And in this way, when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, when one becomes a servant of Krishna, what happens to his false ego? Ganga Narayan, what happens to his false ego?
Becomes a servant of Krishna.
Yes, when one becomes a servant of Krishna, the false ego is also gone. So in this way, the subtle body cannot be destroyed, but subtle body can be transformed. The gross body is destroyed. We leave the gross body. The soul leaves the gross body, but the soul cannot leave the subtle body. The soul can only transform the subtle body by devotional service and make it spiritualized. So, so this is how we can become spiritualized. The purpose of our existence is not to become, not to aspire for liberation. Liberation will automatically come by being spiritually engaged. Often I give an example of prisoner and the king. Krishnarjan, what is the example in this context?
Prisoner is actually is being punished, but if he becomes obedient to the prison authorities, then even within the prison, he becomes an agent of the king.
Okay.
And
right. So, for a prisoner to become free from the prison, he doesn't have to do anything else but to surrender to Krishna, but surrender to the king. Right. The prisoner doesn't have to separately think of freedom or being free from his imprisonment. He simply has to rectify his defective mentality, rebellious mentality. That rebellious mentality is manifested in the form of desiring to enjoy separately from Krishna, trying to exploit the material nature, trying to become the lord and master of the material nature. So, the way to become free from the prison is just to surrender to the king. That's about all one has to do. Just surrender to the king. Rest will automatically happen. Right? Does it make sense? Therefore, devotees don't have to think of liberation. About liberation, it has been described that mukti, with folded hand, mukti devi, mukulita anjali, sevate ashmin. At mukti devi, personality of liberation, with folded hands, is praying to the devotees, please, allow me to serve you. Devotee doesn't have to think of liberation. Because, why they don't have to think of liberation? Because they are already liberated. When one is already liberated, why should he think about liberation separately? Devotees don't have to think in terms of mukti. Bhakti automatically includes mukti. Bhakti is actually a stage beyond mukti. After liberation is the stage of devotion. Therefore, when one is engaged in devotion, it has to be understood that he has already become liberated. Now one may say, well, I don't see you that you are liberated. You have to eat, you have to sleep, how can you say you are liberated? It's because we know that the liberation, that kind of liberation, total freedom from the bondage of material nature will happen in due course of time. Because one is in the prison house doesn't mean that he is a prisoner. When one surrenders himself to the king, is he a prisoner? Although he looks like a prisoner, but because he surrendered to the king, the king is seeing him in a different light. A prisoner writes to the king, I'm sorry, I realize my mistakes, my crimes, and I promise that I will not do that. I realize that my business is to be surrendered to you. When the king receives the letter, what will the king do? King will tell the prison authorities, I received this letter from this prisoner. So, looks like his mentality has become rectified. So please treat him nicely. Please treat him with care. And see that he can become free from his bondage. And the prison authorities also start to check him and see him in a different light. And prison authorities use him as a good example to the other prisoners. The prison authorities give him more facilities. And he goes and tells the other prisoners, look, you also surrender to the king and he'll get these facilities. Vyas, you're a lawyer, you deal with the prisoners. Does it make sense? Huh? Theek hai? Ye sahi hai na? Achha, bahut achha. Humko lawyers ka confirmation mil gaya. So this is how simple, this is how easy it is to become free from the bondage of material nature. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question? Can Mahavishnu with his inconceivable potency do two things together? Can he do that? He can glance and at the same time he can lie down and the bubbles can become there. The glance actually means he becomes concerned. He projects his consciousness towards the material nature. Right? Prakriti. It is not glance in that sense. Glance, what do we do with glance? With our glance? We become aware of that other person? Right? So similarly, when Mahavishnu, projects his consciousness, that is, glance is actually projecting of consciousness. Sometimes we may be looking at something, but we don't register. Are we really seeing it? No. So it is a matter of projecting our consciousness. So it is the matter of Mahavishnu's projection of his consciousness towards the material nature. Mahavishnu becoming conscious of the material nature. And as a result of his glance, what happens? All the living entities come into the material nature. But then another thing is happening. He is lying in the causal ocean and the bubbles are coming out. and each bubble is an universe. Then he enters into them as Garbhodaksha in Vishnu. Then Brahma is generated from him and the creation takes place. The living entities get the body. The living entities are already there. But now they're getting the bodies to become active in the material nature.
And another question. This is regarding the discussion of about Bhagavatam. There is a very often quoted passage from the Padma Purana where Sanat Kumar, the four Kumaras, tell Narad Muni the procedure of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, especially for Kali Yuga. It has to be done within, preferably in a week. I mean, the procedure of Sapta. And it is verified how in a week's time we chant whatever it
is. This is in?
Padma Purana. So
yeah.
The question is that like Srila Prabhupada was against this Bhagavata Saptaha concept. So, but if that is the case, then why is it mentioned in the Purana? Especially because now it is said that nowadays, because
Prabhupada was not against, you know, discussing it in a week, but not just discuss it for 7 days, and the remaining 358 days, you do carry on with your nonsense. Prabhupada said, Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. What you are studying in the Bhagavatam, apply. You may hear it for 7 days, but the remaining part of the year, you apply it in your life. Lead your life according to Srimad Bhagavatam's instructions. Otherwise, this Bhagavat Sapta is a joke. For 7 days, they come, make a big tamasha, and then they go back and they are back into their nonsense. So that is what is discouraged. You hear for 7 days and then you become so inspired that then you start to read every day. That is the purpose of reading Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why, and you see the difference. These people, 25,000 people attended Bhagavad Sapta. That the SP was telling me day before yesterday that some people is doing Bhagavad Sapta. 50,000 people came and 25,000 people are living there. Right? But, I mean, 50,000 people came. But how many people's life got transformed? They came, listened to Bhagavatam, but then they went back and doing their own things. Whereas what's happening in ISKCON, those who are joining this movement, they're practicing it on a day-to-day life. Now, which one is desirable? Which one is the main purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam? And therefore, those who are living in the temple, those who are living in ISKCON, those who are joining ISKCON, become serious. Become serious because the purpose of human life is, purpose of human form of life has a very, very lofty objective. And that is to become spiritually situated. And finish off your business and go back to Godhead. They're deriving some benefit, but we have to see that those benefits become permanent. Not just some temporary two-day things. And I can give another example. Bhagavad Sapta, people are coming, maybe 25,000-30,000 people are coming. But when a movie star comes, then how many people come? during our opening, when Rani came, Rani Mukherjee came, then what happened? People came from all over to see her. But then what happened? The coming to the thing is, did they come to see the temple opening? No, they didn't come to see the temple opening. Most really, they didn't even come into the temple and see the deities. Their deity is the movie stars. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any other question? Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention. Actually, I skipped that. Tomorrow we are doing the Bhumi Puja for the IT park. Now, actually, I was thinking about that. Like Prabhupada is, I'll read that part in the purport. The fruitive actors in the material world are very enthusiastic in the creation of big enterprises, big houses, big empires, big industries, and so many big things out of the energy and ingredients supplied by the material agents of the Supreme Lord. Now it may seem that we are also doing big enterprises, building big houses, a 15-story building, the biggest in Madhya Pradesh. That will be, once we complete that, that will be the biggest house, the largest, the tallest building in Madhya Pradesh. And we are not building one, we are building two. Now what is the difference between their enterprise and our enterprise? What's the difference? Are we also you being enthusiastic for this kind of endeavors? Yes? Yeah, we are doing it for Krishna. Whereas the materialistic people do it for their own sense gratification. Then again, why we are doing it for Krishna? I mean, I don't think many sannyasis are building. Actually, before I embarked on this project, I was involved in another project where no sannyasi ever ventured into. I was making movies. And at least in the history of this millennium, no sannyasi ever got involved in making movies. Now, why I was making movies? Is because we are using the medium to promote Krishna consciousness, to promote Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So similarly, now we are getting into big enterprises, building big buildings, for promoting Krishna consciousness. Another thing is, like this, at least the movie was directly related to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. But this enterprise, how it's not directly related. Then why am I doing it? I'm doing it because this is what people understand. Like we build the temple, at the beginning so many people were coming. But now how many people come? Out of curiosity, at the beginning some people were coming. And those who are coming also, they come for what? They're little pious, they're pious people, they come, they think that having the darshan of the deity is important, good for spiritual benefit. But how many of them come and listen to Bhagavatam class? That is actually the real thing. I mean, I see some people come for Mangal Arati, but they never come to Bhagavatam class. Then what's the point in coming to Mangal Arati? Why do they come to Mangal Arati? Because they think that there'll be some piety. They'll get some punya by doing that. Or sometimes they think, agar main nahi jata to Bhagwan ye honge, but naraaz hoenge. Aur agar Bhagwan naraaz hoenge to mera paisa nahi milega. So people come with that kind of intention. But the thing is, what's the purpose of actually coming to the temple? The purpose of coming to the temple is to know about the Lord. Hear about the Lord, get to understand how to become engaged in His service, how to make our life successful. So the first thing is that we build the temple, and now you're building the IT park. When the IT park comes, they'll come there. And when they come there, what they'll get to see? One floor of the IT park will be an exhibit on the greatness of Indian culture. That's why we named it as Varaha Mihir IT Park. Hundreds of years ago, Varaha Mihir was the greatest astrologer. His findings, through him we can present the greatness of Indian culture. Today everybody is thinking the West is the greatest and India is the lowest. They think all the civilization, all the culture, all the scientific findings came from the West. But no. When West was in dark age, India had the perfect understanding of the planetary systems. And the West, what do they have? They have only a very shallow understanding of the planetary systems and the universe. What to speak of the spiritual side of it. So in this way we have our objective to give them the proper understanding. In that one floor of that we'll have a museum, an exhibit where we will present the Vedic culture. And also it will generate employment. Now people are thinking, when you build a temple, people are thinking, ISKCON built a temple, what they're doing for us. So we started our midday meal program. At least people are seeing that ISKCON is feeding 25,000 children every day. And in this way they will see what ISKCON is doing for the benefit of the people here. And our objective is not only to benefit the people of Ujjain, our objective is to benefit the people all over the world. Anyway, so I thought of mentioning about that. So there is a difference. Materialistic people becoming enthusiastic in building big houses, and our enthusiasm to build big houses have two completely opposite objectives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande.